Okay. Genesis chapter 40 we're in today. So we finished up chapter 39 last time. We saw that after Joseph had been sold by his brethren to the Ishmaelites, the Midianites, in chapter 37, that they then sold him into Egypt, and he was sold to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, and he was in the house of Potiphar throughout chapter 39, and Potiphar saw that the Lord was with Joseph, and it was because of the Lord that Joseph was prosperous in everything that he did. And when he saw that Joseph was an upright man and that the Lord was with him and he prospered in everything, he trusted Joseph and he made him the steward over everything that he had. He was like the chief servant. So you think, okay, well, you know, Joseph's not really in a great situation. He's sold into slavery, but actually the place where the Lord brought him, it really was the Lord bringing him there, that he just kind of like rose up to the top of the situation. The Lord blessed him exactly where he was and made him to prosper. And his master trusted him so much that he made him the ruler over everything that he had. Now we saw that, unfortunately, his master's wife comes along and she tempted him, and she wanted him to lie with her. She wanted him to commit adultery with her. And we also saw in Joseph the spirit of Christ that's like, you know what? I can't do this thing. I love God too much. I won't do this. He went on and said, you know, there's none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. So my master is so good to me. He has entrusted me with so much. He doesn't say, I won't do this thing because I love my master. He says, no, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? That's where his heart was. And we saw throughout that chapter, wherever he went, whatever situation he was in, the Lord was with him and continually made him to prosper. So what happens, though, is his master's wife then accuses him and says, he came in unto me to mock me, and he wanted to lay with me. And she completely turns this thing around, tells a complete lie. And then when his master comes home, she tells it to him. And then he's very angry. And we saw that he cast him into prison. So at the end of the chapter there, verse 20, it says, Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So basically the same thing that happened with the captain of the guard, we see now with the keeper of the prison. He sees the type of man that Joseph is. He sees that the Lord is with him and then he's prospering. So he does the same thing. He trusts him and he put everything that he has into Joseph's hand. And it says the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand. He didn't even pay attention to what Joseph was doing because he trusted him that much. So, chapter 40, it says, and it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. and they continued to season and ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning, and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, In my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches, and it was though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand, after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket there was of all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, This is the interpretation thereof. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. And it came to pass the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him. Okay, so let's go through and talk about this verse by verse. So verse 1, it says, It came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. So you have these 2 officers of Pharaoh, the chief of the butlers and the chief of the bakers, it says in verse 2. And it says in verse 3, he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And Trevor and I had a little discussion last week. So it says that the prison was in the house of the captain of the guard. Well, we just read in the last chapter that Joseph was sold unto Potiphar, the captain of the guard. So the question is this the same person? Did the captain of the guard take Joseph and put him into the prison that was in his own house? That's a possibility. I mean, how many captains of the guard are there? How many guards are there? I can't say for sure. You can look at the phrase captain of the guard, okay, and then go on to the next chapter. It says captain of the guard and say, oh, they're the same guy. I'm not sure that that's the case. It might be. But look at how chapter 39 ends, okay? Joseph's master took him, put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. He was there in the prison. His master, it says his wrath was kindled. He was very angry because he believed his wife's false report, and he was very angry with Joseph, and he threw him into prison, okay? But the chapter ends like this. The Lord was with Joseph, showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The keeper of the prison seems like a different guy that's over the prison, okay? And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. Again, he's doing the same thing that Potiphar did with him before. So it looks like these are two different guys, and they both give him the same treatment. So I think the captain of the guard that it talks about in the beginning of chapter 40, I think it's the keeper of the prison. If it was Potiphar, then it would basically be like... Trevor brought up the idea last week that it could be that Potiphar only threw him into prison to satisfy his wife because his wife was angry. But I don't know. It seems like it's a different person. So, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. So verse 2. It says, Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers. What does the word wroth mean?
Angry.
Basically, yeah, it means angry, okay? So there's two words in the Bible. They're not used that much anymore. But we have the words anger and angry. And in the Bible, we also have the words wrath and wroth, okay? Wrath is the noun. It's the anger. Wroth is when you have wrath. Okay? It's just like anger and angry. So Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers. He had wrath against them. He was angry. And it says he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. So it says he put them in ward. What does that mean? Ward basically means guard. Okay, so when it says he put them in ward, it basically means he put them under guard. So again, the keeper of the prison mentioned at the end of chapter 39, I think it's very possible that it's the same person, the captain of the guard. He's the warden of the prison. He's the one that's the captain of the guard in the prison. So, verse 4, the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. So it probably means that, you know, Joseph was like over the prisoners. He attended to their needs. He maybe brought their food for them. If there was anything they needed, he attended to that. So he served them. They continued a season in ward. So they were there for a while, these two guys. And verse 5, it says, they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream. Interesting. They dream according to the interpretation. Almost seems backwards, doesn't it? Like you think you'd have an interpretation that's according to the dream. But no, actually, they dreamed according to the interpretation. So there was a message, and we saw all the way through this book so far, whenever somebody has a dream, it's God trying to give them a message. Okay, sometimes he appears to them directly and tells them something, or other times it's like the dreams that Joseph had earlier. You know, he had the dream about the sheaves and then about the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars. And every time, God was trying to tell something. So they dreamed according to the interpretation. In other words, there was a truth, and they dreamed according to that truth. So these two men, they each had a dream. In verse 6, it says, and Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? Why are you guys so sad? I always read this as a kid, and I was like, well, isn't that obvious? You're all sitting in prison. Of course you're going to be sad, right? I don't know. Prison isn't really a great place to be in. But, I don't know, some prisons are worse than others. I guess it kind of depends on who your keeper is and how well they treat you. But anyway, Joseph came in unto them. He noticed their countenance. He noticed that, okay, even if they're just kind of generally despondent, they're, oh, I'm in prison again another day, you know. There was something different about that day from the previous day where he noticed on their faces something happened. What's going on, guys? Why do you guys look so sad today, like even more than usual? Okay. And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream and there is no interpreter of it. I have a lot of dreams. Okay. And when I wake up, I think about the dream and wow, that was awfully weird. You know, what did I have to eat last night? You know how it is when you have a dream. Like, I don't know. Do you necessarily think what's the interpretation of it? Do you even think there's an interpretation? Oh, that's just kind of weird thoughts, you know. Most people, I don't think today really look for an interpretation. But these guys, they had this dream. They each had their dream, and they expected that there was an interpretation. Okay. This is a different culture. People back then, and you read about this a lot in the book of Job in particular, but back then people understood, okay, I had a dream, and life was a lot simpler back then, okay? There was a lot less going on in the world, and you didn't have emails flying at you all the time, and you're not going places in your car and doing all this stuff, okay? Life was a lot simpler. And I think people had a lot more connection with God that just kind of it was almost like more natural to them. They had a simpler life. And when they settled down and they slept and they had these dreams, they could feel that God was trying to reach them. God was trying to say something to them. And that's what he did. He very frequently talked to men in dreams. So they expected that there was an interpretation, and it bothered them because they didn't know what it was. They didn't have the understanding. So that's why they were looking so sadly. And look at Joseph's answer. And this really tells you something about Joseph. He said unto them, do not interpretations belong to me? I know all about this stuff. Guys, just tell me. No, he doesn't say that. He says, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to God. He doesn't say that either. Look what he says. Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. Why does he say that? Because Joseph has such a relationship of grace with God that he knew God was going to tell him. God was going to tell him. I'll show you what this reminds me of. Go to John chapter 11. Again, I mentioned before, you can really see the Spirit of Christ in the life of Joseph. John chapter 11. This is where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And look at verse 41. It says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. By the way, that takes an awful lot of confidence in God and in your relationship with God to stand before all these people and pray out loud and say, thank you, Father, for hearing me. I know you're going to do this. And I'm saying it for all these people here, so right. They'll all know. Boy, it'd be a major disappointment if you said all that and it didn't happen, right? Right? You look like a fool. You look like an idiot, right? Or else you look like somebody who really thinks he's got this relationship with God, but really he doesn't have it because nothing's happening. But Jesus not only had the faith in God, in his Father, he also had confidence in the relationship that he had with the Father and knew that the Father was hearing him and knew that the Father was going to do exactly what he asked. Because he had that relationship. God was with him. Joseph, that's the same thing that Joseph is saying here. He's saying, do not interpretations belong to God? God knows the answer. So tell me, and I know that God's going to show me. Yeah. And let's be honest, we don't all have a relationship with God that's close. That's, you know, we just have that assurance that, you know, if when there's something that I need, God's going to do it. He's just going to do it. But you can get to that point. And Joseph's a clear example of that. You know, the Bible says in the New Testament to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as you seek the Lord and you follow him and you continue to walk with him, you grow in grace. And that relationship gets closer. And guess what? God will start to do things for you in that relationship that he wouldn't otherwise do. And that's the relationship that Joseph had. He was with God every step of the way, and God was with him every step of the way. And Joseph had confidence in that. So, verse 9. So the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches, and it was though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. Now, Joseph is not making up an interpretation here. He's not just making something up. Like, all the elements are in this dream, okay? The three branches, when you look at the thing as a whole, this is a picture of life, okay? There's a vine. It budded, her blossom shot forth, her clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And the other thing that you see in the dream itself is that I took the grapes, I pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. What's that? Well, I'm being restored to service. I'm serving Pharaoh again, just like I did before. This was his job in the past. So Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. Okay? So there's nothing crazy about this interpretation. It's just really solid. God just gave him the wisdom to be able to discern this is what the dream is talking about. He's not making anything up here. So So he gives this interpretation, and then he says in verse 14, "But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon." I didn't do anything to deserve this. This is unjust. Joseph's been dealing with a lot, you know. He's now in he's been in three different ownerships by now, and now he's in a dungeon. He's been there for a while, and remember when he left Egypt, he was how old? It says he was 17 when he was feeding the flocks, and they took him and sold him. And then when he finally appears before Pharaoh, he's 30. So there's 13 years passing in all this time. I don't know exactly how it's broken up, like how long he was in Potiphar's house, how long he was in this dungeon. But he's just saying, hey, you know, remember me. When you go back before Pharaoh and into his service, just remember me. I'm telling you the truth. I didn't do anything to deserve this. So he gives the chief butler a good interpretation. In verse 16, when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, "I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket there was of all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh. And the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head." And so he's hoping for a good interpretation also. Okay, well, you know, the three baskets are 3 days, and after 3 days he'll also be restored into service, right? No. And Joseph answered and said, "This is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee." Okay, he told the chief butler, "Pharaoh shall lift up thine head." He told this guy, "Pharaoh shall lift up thine head from off thee." That sounds a little worse, right? I remember reading this as a kid, and I was like, something different about this one. "He shall lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee." Yeah, that's definitely worse. So, and you can, again, you can see the elements of this in the dream itself. What's the dream? Well, he says, "I had three white baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket there were all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh." So it was supposed to go to Pharaoh, but what happened? "The birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head." Well, he's certainly not restored to service. He never gets a chance to serve the baked meats unto Pharaoh. But also, what's the result of this? It's not life. It's not budding forth. It's emptiness. The birds are coming along and they're stealing what I had. They're eating the stuff from off my head. And it's death. It's not life. So Joseph interprets this dream unto him correctly, and then I have the question, well, did Joseph interpret these dreams, or did God give him the interpretations? Because, you know, a lot of times we think about things like this. For example, all throughout the New Testament, we have the commandments to repent and believe. We say, well, that's on us. We have to believe. The Bible also says, the faith once delivered unto the saints. The Bible also says that God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So which one is it? Did God give us the faith, or did we believe? It's both. It's both. You know, when the Bible says two different things, believe them both, right? Well, I don't get how they make sense. Believe them anyway. Believe them anyway. Both. I think sometimes, you know, when God gives something to us or does something for us, sometimes what he's actually doing is empowering us to do the thing. And it's the same thing. God gives us the word so that we can believe it. That's how he gave us the faith. He still wants us to believe. We still have to exercise our own will to believe the thing that he gave us to believe. We have to receive that faith. We have to receive the word. Both things happen at the same time. So I think what happened here is not that God whispered in his ear and said, "Hey, this is the interpretation." I think God gave him the ability to interpret. Interpretations belong to God, and then God gave that to Joseph. So I think it's the same thing. Why is there a difference between the butler and the baker? I know a Calvinist might look at this and say, well, look, they both offended, and Pharaoh, in his sovereign will, got to choose to kill this guy and save that guy. That's exactly the way a Calvinist would look at this. But the truth is, we don't know from this chapter what the offense was. We don't know that the offense of both of them was the same. Maybe Pharaoh, as a sovereign, decided what the chief butler did to me wasn't that bad, but what the chief baker did to me was, yeah, that's a death offense. So we really don't know. Another observation that I had from this is, it's kind of a morbid observation, but it seems like whenever there's a birthday party in the Bible, somebody loses their head. You notice that? Yeah. I don't know. I'm not trying to say that, that all birthday parties are bad, but, as far as I can tell, there's two of them in the Bible, and kind of a grim outcome there. Not what I would do at a birthday party. But yeah, he restored the chief butler, according to the word of Joseph, and he hanged the chief baker. But then verse 23, it says, "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him." And that's just kind of a sad reality, is that, you know, so many times when somebody does a kindness to us, you know, we're thankful in the moment, but then we just kind of go on and tend to forget that kindness. And I tell you, it happens to us a lot with God, that God has done a lot of great kindnesses to us, and we ought to be mindful of them every day, every moment, because they're such great things that he's done for us. And so often we, like it says here, forget him. Didn't really plan on going here, but just thought of Deuteronomy 32. And this is actually the verse that I thought of, verse 15. It doesn't actually say that they forgot him. It says, "But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation."
Right.
And the picture is that God saved him and exalted him and made him prosperous. But then in that position, he just kind of forgot what the Lord did for him, and he forsook the Lord. And And it just seems like this guy, he, you know, he was all excited about it in the moment, but, you know, then you have this birthday party, and, you know, there's all this excitement, and, okay, well, okay, I'm back in Pharaoh's service now, and then just kind of gets right back to the old routine and forgets about Joseph's kindness. And it's not till later on that that he's reminded, and he has to go back and think about that situation, that he's like, Oh yeah, there was this Hebrew guy named Joseph, and he interpreted our dreams for us. So that's Genesis chapter 40, and I hope you got something out of that. And thanks for being in Sunday school.